you at the ceremony, and I let you down. No, she said immediately. It was my own dim-dumb fault. I should have known better. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cause you any trouble. Everly leaned back in his comfortable chair and gave her his patient, fatherly smile. How easily she's maneuvered, he thought. She's apologizing to me. I mean, Holly was prattling on, I know you've got lots to do and all the responsibilities for the whole Habitat's human resources and all that, and I shouldn't have expected you to take time out and stand around watching the ridic ceremonies with me like some school kid at commencement or something. Her voice wound down like a toy running out of battery power. Eberly replaced his smile with a concerned expression. Very well, Holly. It's over and done with. Forgotten. She nodded happily. I have an assignment for you, if you can find the time to work on it.
I'll make the time.
Wonderful, he smiled again, the pleased, grateful smile.
What's the assignment?
He called up the Habitat's ground plan and projected it against the bare wall. Holly saw the villages, the parks and farmlands and orchards, the offices and workshops and factory complexes all neatly laid out and connected by paths for pedestrians and electric motorbikes. This is our home now, Eberly said. We're going to be living here for at least 5 years. Some of us, many of us, will spend the rest of their lives here. Holly agreed with a nod. Yet we have no names for anything. Nothing but the engineer's designations. We can't go on calling our hometowns Village A and Village B and so forth.
I click, Holly murmured.
The orchards should have names of their own, the hills and the woods, everything. Who wants to go shopping in Retail Complex 3?
Yeah, but how will we pick names for everything?
I won't, Eberly said, and you won't either. This is a task that must be done by the residents of the Habitat. The people themselves must choose the names they want.
But how?
A contest, he answered before she could complete her question. Or rather, a series of contests. The residents of each village will have a contest to name that village. The workers in a factory will have a contest to name their factory. It will engage everyone's attention and keep them busy for months.
Cosmic, Holly breathed.
I need someone to work out the rules and organize each individual contest. Will you do this for me?
Absolutely.
Eberly allowed himself to chuckle at her enthusiasm. He went on, later you'll have to form committees to judge the names entered and count the votes.
Wow!
Holly was almost trembling with anticipation, he could see.
Good.
I want you to make this your top priority, but tell no one about this until we're ready to pronounce it to the general populace. I don't want knowledge of this leaking out prematurely.
I'll keep it to myself, Holly promised.
Fine. Eberly leaned back in his chair, satisfied. Then he cocked an eye at her and said, I noticed that you called me several times. What is it you wanted to talk to me about? Holly blinked as if suddenly shaken awake from a dream.
See you? Oh, yeah. It's probably nothing much, just some details. Not a big deal, really, I guess.
Leaning slightly forward, Eberly thought that her persistent calls were merely a thinly disguised attempt to get to see him. He rested his arms on his desk.
What is it, then?
With a concerned knitting of her brows, Holly said,
Well, I was running routine checks on the dossiers of the last batch of personnel to come aboard, and I found some discrepancies in a few of them.
Discrepancies? She nodded vigorously.
References that don't check out, or incompleted forms.
Anything serious? He asked.
Ruth Morgenthau, for example. She's only got one position filled in on the prior experience section of her application.
Really?
It's a whiz of a good one, Holly admitted.
Chief of Administrative Services for the Amsterdam Office of the Holy Disciples. Eberly smiled faintly. That is rather impressive, don't you think?
Uh-huh, but it's only one, and the form calls for at least three.
I wouldn't worry about it.
She nodded. Okay, no prob, but there's one guy. He claims references from several universities, but I can't find any mention of him in any of their records.
False references. Eberly felt a pang of alarm. Who is this person? Holly pulled the palm comp from her tunic pocket and pointed it at the wall opposite the one showing the Habitat's layout. She glanced at Eberly, silently asking permission. He nodded curtly.
A human resources dossier appeared on the wall. Eberly felt himself frowning as he saw the name and photo at its top. Sammy Viborg. Scrolling down to the references section of the dossier, Holly highlighted the names of 5 university professors. "Far as I can dig, he never attended any of those schools," she said. Eberly leaned back in his chair and steepled his fingers, hiding his intense displeasure, thinking furiously. "Have you contacted any of those professors?" "Not yet. I wanted you to see this before I go any deeper." "Good. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I can query each of the profs, but what do we do with Viborg if they don't back him?" Eberly spread his hands. "Obviously, we can't let the man remain in the post he's been assigned to, if he has falsified his references." "We can ship him back Earthside when we refuel at Jupiter, I guess," Holly mused. "But what do we do with him till then? Put him to work in the farms or something?" "Or something," Eberly temporized. "Okay, I'll query the..." "No," he said sharply. "I will contact these professors, each one of them, myself." "But you've got so much to do." "It's my responsibility, Holly. Besides, they're much more likely to respond quickly to a query from the Chief of Human Resources than from one of the Chief's assistants." Her face fell briefly, but she quickly brightened. "Yeah, guess so." "Besides, you're going to be very busy arranging the contests." She grinned at that. "I'll take care of it myself," Eberly repeated. "Doesn't seem fair," she murmured. "I'm sorry I brought it to you. I should have done it without bothering you." "No, Holly. This is something that should have been brought to my attention. You did the right thing."
"Okay,"
she said, getting slowly to her feet. "If you say so." "Still, thank you for bringing this to me," Eberly said. "You've done a fine job." She beamed.
"Thanks."
"I'm sure it's just a mistake or a misunderstanding somewhere along the line. I know Viborg personally. He's a good man."
"Oh, I didn't know."
"All the more reason to check this out thoroughly," Eberly said sternly. "There can be no personal favoritism here."
"No, of course not."
"Thank you, Holly," he said again. She went to the door slowly, as if reluctant to leave his presence. He smiled at her, and she finally left his office, sliding the door shut quietly. Eberly stared at the dossier still on his wall screen, the false references still highlighted. "Idiot," he fumed. There was no need for Viborg to pad his dossier. He let his ego override his judgment. "Still," Eberly said to himself, "a mistake like this gives me a little leverage over him, something to make him more dependent on me. All to the good." Now to correct his folder, and he began dictating to his computer the glowing references from each of the university professors that would be placed in Viborg's dossier.
Departure plus 28 days. "Come on," grouched Manuel Gaeta. "There's got to be a way." "There's always a way, Fritz." Friedrich Johann von Helmholtz got up from his knees and drew himself to his full height. Despite his imposing name, he was a short, slim, almost delicately built man, and the best technician in the solar system, as far as Gaeta was concerned. At the moment, however, there was precious little goodwill flowing between them. Fritz's burr-cut head barely rose to Gaeta's shoulders. Standing beside the muscular stuntman, the technician looked almost like a skinny child. Both of them were dwarfed by the massive surmit-clad suit standing empty in the middle of the equipment bay. "Of course there's a way," Fritz said in precisely clipped English. "You get into the suit. We seal it up. Then we go through the sterilization procedure that Professor Wilmot and Dr. Urbain insist upon, including the gamma-ray bath. And then you die." Gaeta huffed mightily. Fritz stood beside the empty suit, his arms folded implacably across his slim chest. "Jesu, Fritz," Gaeta muttered. "Those AstroCorp suits paid half the bill for me to be the first man to set foot on Titan. You know what they'll do to me if I don't do it? If I don't even try because some tight-ass scientists are worried about the bugs down there?" "I would imagine they will want their $500 million returned," Fritz said calmly. "And we've already spent a big chunk of it." Fritz shrugged. "They'll take it out of my hide," Gaeta said, frowning with worry. Plus, nobody will ever back me for another stunt. I'll be finished.